Professor Schroeder, would you say that your book, The Hidden Face of God, is more of a theology book or a science book?
It's science that hints that there's a teleology in the world. It doesn't try to prove that one religion is more correct than the other, but it does, I think, to me, demonstrated that there is a, at the minimum, a deistic aspect to existence. That there's a metaphysical, which is exactly what Einstein said also. It appears that there's some kind of divine mind active in the world. So I would say it's science opening indications that there is a direction to how the world has produced life itself.
Many people think the naturalistic idea of life forming on its own out of the early prebiotic soup is the best way to explain our origins. Is that being seen as less and less plausible in our day among modern scientists?
The Miller-Urey experiment was worse than being wrong. As Professor George Wald, Nobel Prize-winning organic chemist, played up in Scientific American a year after the Miller-Urey experiment, where some gases produced amino acids, with an article that said that, in fact, life could have started by chance, et cetera, et cetera. That article is in Scientific American. 25 years later, Scientific American retracted the article and said it was wrong. In fact, the retraction is extraordinary. It says, one of the few times in professional life when Professor Wald has been wrong, no equivocation. The wrongness of the experiment was that random reactions could produce the phenomena of life with no outside intervention, either by the laws of nature or by, as Darwin says, some properties put by the creator into the universe. Why I say the experiment was wrong, was worse than wrong, is that it led science on a wild goose chase for about 20 years. From 1953, when the experiment was done, till the late 1970s, about 25 years, science devoted millions of dollars to searching for simply random reactions to produce it. We were led up a blind path, and the reason the article was retracted in the end was that another Harvard professor, Elso Borchon, discovered that the oldest rocks that can bear fossils already have fossils of life. That is to say, rocks that date back to 3.6 billion years ago, eons, right, essentially immediately after water appears on the Earth, after liquid water appears on the Earth, life starts, and we see that as fully formed fossils, including fossils undergoing mitosis, cell division. So it wasn't that the theory of Wald in the 1950s and of Urey in 1953 and of Darwin in 1859 when The Origin of Species was published, was that there were billions of years between water appearing on Earth, liquid water appearing on Earth, and life starting. There weren't billions of years. There weren't even hundreds of millions of years in a geological blink of the eye, which means as best as it can be discovered by radioactive dating, life starts immediately on the Earth. And that's a major, major problem that has upset all origin of life studies. Because the whole theory of Darwinian evolution of life, forget the one, so we take as a given life to start, but the big question is how did life start? That's the major question in evolution, and it starts immediately on the Earth. Put it this way, it can't be any sooner because the fossil record already dates back to the origin of water on Earth, and all of life is water-based.
What are your thoughts about the intelligent design debate? Should this be allowed into discussion, for instance, in public schools, or is that bringing in religion?
I think it's bringing science into the public schools. But I think with how evolution, how the development of life should be taught, and therefore how intelligent design should be taught, is that evolution should be called how did life... Evolution is already a political term. I would suggest that evolution be taught as the how did life develop. And then of glossing, instead of glossing over the most important aspects, those aspects be given equal time to the time that we talk about Darwinian-type evolution, natural selection. And those aspects would be, why is there a universe in the first place? Why is there creation? That the universe is exactly designed for, is exactly, has the physical properties that make it perfect for nurturing life. Then the next, that would be the first. Universe created, universe has exactly the properties for life. That life starts immediately on the Earth, that rocks and water become alive in a blink of the eye, as close as it can be made, not after billions of years. How does that happen? The Cambrian explosion should be emphasized, bacteria becoming animals with appendages and mouths and eyes out of the blue. And with those, I would say with teaching that aspect of, in quotes, evolution, then there's no problem because it becomes the intelligent design is implied directly into the system. What life required to begin, all these problems are brushed over, and you get hung up on the minutiae. Did a fish become a frog? I mean, we can't tell what produced that. We see in the fossil record a flow from simple life to complex life. We see it in the Bible also. Genesis starts off on day number 5 with animal life in the water, moves to day number 6 with animal life on the land, which when you do the extrapolation, by the way, maps exactly onto those days. You know, time-wise, are billions of years versus mapping. Animal life on the land, then comes mammals, and then comes humans. So you get life in the waters, life on land, mammals, humans. That's exactly what the fossil record says also. The Bible gives you 6 sentences. We don't have to bring the Bible in. There's no problem in teaching that development from simple to the complex. The difficulty is no one has a clue as to how it happened, and Darwinian and the pattern that we were told to find in the fossil record does not exist, and that should be taught in classes in the name of Eldridge, curator at the American Museum of Natural History. That sentence should be in every class and related to not some Bible thumper, but to a totally secular person, that the pattern does not exist. And that has to be taught, and it's stealing intelligence from the students by not teaching them that. It should be forced that in evolution classes the real problems be discussed. We should just present the facts, life developing out of the beams of energy of existence, et cetera, as I was speaking about before. Discuss the development of life from the Big Bang forward and have that in the classrooms. That's all you'd need. From then, people, intelligent parents and children can draw the conclusions. By the way, Darwin closes The Origin of Species by saying that the Creator, with a capital C, the Creator put these powers into the world so life could develop. Darwin is always, that statement in the closing about five lines of The Origin of Species, his famous book from 1859, that statement that the Creator put these powers in, when you see that quote, that paragraph quoted in Scientific American, once in the late Stephen Jay Gould, at least twice or so, it's always dot, dot, dot. In other words, it's excluded. But Darwin himself talks about the Creator. So if you can talk about evolution, then you have to put that into the class. I doubt if any of the people on the jury in the Supreme Court realize that Darwin credits the Creator with a capital C of producing the forces that could allow life to develop.
Professor Schroeder, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us.
Well, I enjoyed it.